Thank you very much, Evans. It's a great pleasure for me to be here for the second time. I have to say that we are very honored by the cooperation of the Brivibas and Solidaritas Fund. Did I make it correct? Yeah. I mean, my Latvian is still very limited, even though it's the second time around. I would like to underline that the cooperation is, of course, within the framework of the activities that we are organizing here, which are extremely important because you can develop the most exciting ideas in Brussels, but it doesn't mean that they stick to reality anywhere around Europe. So that's why it is very exciting for us to have this exchange. But it's very important to underline that the BSF has been an active member and actively participated also in the different focus groups organized in Brussels and beyond Brussels. And also, aside from the Next Left, which is the research program I'm personally responsible for within FABS, has been one of the, pioneers of the discussion about the future of the welfare state, which I think is one of the crucial discussions of the European Union at this point. And for that cooperation, we are extremely grateful to you as the organization and to you, Evans, for making this event possible. This is always a pleasure and a thrill. I'm sure that we are going to have a very exciting debate, and there are a few reasons why I do strongly believe in the sense of the discussion concerning ideology and progressive values. Within the Next Left research program, which has been there for over 3 years by now, we have been touching upon the different issues, changing society, changing political scene, sense of politics, and we were trying to see a bit closer what would be the sense of existence of social democracy in the 21st century, and the question of determination of what the progressive values contemporary are is one of the key ones to find the answer to this query. The progressive values as such, because with Evans we had a long discussion what would be the most exciting theme for this particular meeting, are coming up from more than a year-long study that we have concluded within FEPS, trying to see what the progressive values are nowadays, which is why we, within this very serious fourth volume of the Next Left book collection, we have included the study that analyzed the party political documents, all of them starting from Grundsatzprogramms, finishing off with the electoral manifesto, trying to see how the different parties describe what the ideology of social democracy within the 21st century is. I think that for us, what is very interesting about the meeting also here is that this meeting links very much with the discussion we had a week ago in Berlin, together with the Free Habit Foundation, and the several publications that we are also doing in this light, for example, with the Frankfurter Hefte, but also the discussions that we have still planned in Barcelona and in London in the upcoming months. The reason why I'm making this link is because such a discussion as what the progressive values are within the Latvia, Lithuania and Estonia links very much with the European discussion and the European search for the values. I'm sure that you're all aware of the process of writing the fundamental program within the Party of the European Socialists. We have at the moment the Declaration of Principles that was adopted last year, and this search is very much going on the European level. And of course we are aware that the European way or the European program can't be detached from the national discussion, which is why today's exchange is going to be so important. I have to say that very often when I go and talk about values, people ask me, so what's the sense of talking about values? How can you sell them? What's tangible? What's feasible about them? Who cares about values nowadays? Today, politics is much more about political marketing, about the presentation, about the packages, and not so much about the values that should carry on. We always say, we all know the values, they are all the same, so now let's go down to the business. But that's actually the reason why politics looks so much repulsive in the moment, because it's so much detached from any sort of ethical or longer-term perspective. The reason why we are looking for the values on the European level, the first and a very important one, is the question of further development of the European Union and the question of politicization of the European Union as the project. I think very often the relation towards the European Union is either pro-European Union or against the European Union, but we hardly ever explore what this pro-European Union means. What is the European integration and what the future of the European Union should be? for us as the socialists and social democrats, obviously this future of the European Union should be based on the values we recognize and we believe. The problem is that if you take any of the European Union's treaties, the values such as peace, solidarity, equality, etc., are already in place there. So how do we make a difference going, for example, to the European elections? How do we make it clear that the future of the European Union, the vision for the European Union can be different once you're talking from conservative sides, when you are talking from the liberal point, and once you're talking from the progressive one? So this is why there is the search for the values to show that there is a different way and the European Union can be something more than just a market with some social policy additions. So this is the search that we are having ideologically on the European Union level. The second thing is the question of providing a credible alternative. I think very often the politics has become a sort of 24 hours media cycle at the moment. You are, as a politician, you are expected to deliver the answers to the issue that is important at 10 o'clock in the morning, but is already covered up by many other issues at 10 o'clock in the evening. What we are looking for is how to build an alternative, something that is consequent, something that is tangible. And that's why we are looking at the linking the discussions of values with the discussion about long-term vision, but also a new socio-economic paradigm. I mentioned the VSF large and outstanding engagement in the discussion about the European social model and the European welfare state. And for us, this is the linkage that is a very interesting one, because we do believe that any election from now on should be based on a concept of a social contract. I will not get into the details, but of course, if the social democratic parties are to be credible in proposing the future, they also have to be credible in going to the voters and saying, we are actually not able to do everything, but this and this and this we hope to do in short and long-term perspective. Furthermore, I think that this social contract, which I've already mentioned, I mean, I've had the similar discussion in Germany, and I think I met a bit with the criticism that social contract is frequently associated with the New Deal of Roosevelt and perhaps more liberal stream coming from the United States. I think that we are very often forgetting this very basic idea that social democracy is rooted within the society. And here is another question that is very much important for today's seminar, in a sense. If we define those values in contemporary society, if we say what equality, solidarity, etc. should mean, how do we make sure that people also identify with those values? Because everything looks very nice on the paper, but how many people today really think that European Union is about peace? It was established as the peace project, but today is very much taken for granted. So this identification and commitment to the certain values, like freedom, like equality, as I mentioned, is a very important one. And I think that here it links very much with the electoral strategies, because it pretty much answers the question how people identify. This year within FABS we are going to conclude a major poll to see if people identify with a specific issue of social justice, if social justice is still something that we see within the society. But once again, I'd like to underline that the role of the political forces is also to change, to challenge people. The role of the think tanks is to change the mainstream. So when we do the poll, it's not to see what the people want us to say, but actually see where is a space to build up a new identification. I mentioned the very famous sentence, the values are the same and we all know them. But I think that if we take the values at hand, and I'm going to give now the few examples before I close, it's very important to say that the interpretation of the values depends on many different aspects. If you take a scientific background, the definition of values is pretty much in a sort of theoretical limbo. If you take political sciences, the definition of what value is will be different. If you take anthropology, it will be different. And it will always be influenced by historical and cultural circumstances in which the values are determined. Obviously, if you take our study, freedom or independence or democracy will be much stronger as the notions in the Central and Eastern Europe, where I personally also come from, because we do well remember the history from 20 years before, while in the Western Europe perhaps it will be redefined in a slightly different manner. The same will go for equality, which depends on the development of the society, sort of welfare state and so on. So, in fact, what the values are and why they are important to be discussed both on the national and also in the European level is the answer of what kind of a society we want to create, what kind of guidelines we want to have. and to give a brief feeling why we so strongly believe that there is a reason to redefine them, is I will just name the three coming up of the study. The study is 150 pages long, don't worry, I'm not going to bring all the points in between. You are more than welcome to read and challenge us on that one. If you take, for example, freedom, what does the freedom mean? Freedom has no longer, it's no longer associated with the progressive forces. We are much more connected with equality and solidarity. I'll talk about them in very soon. But freedom has always been the first and the core of our values, has always touched upon emancipation, liberation of people. But what does freedom mean nowadays when people are so much overwhelmed by different fears? I mean, name it, globalization, economic crisis, whichever. An additional thing about freedom that we have sort of lost within the European societies is that freedom cannot mean only do not harm the other. We see what's happening in the Netherlands. I'm particularly very touched about the Wilders and the website that has recently been condemned. They are arguing that this is a freedom of speech. Everyone can have a website and everyone can share their opinions. But is it a freedom of speech? Is it the freedom that we believe in the European Union levels or not? Is what Viktor Orban doing a freedom of political expression? Or is it perhaps going already beyond the freedom that we believe in? I think there's issues that because there is the values still remain so much of the abstract issues, they are very difficult to be made tangible. If we take equality, I already mentioned, I think, five times welfare state, but this is something that we are very much battling with because welfare state has been sort of a business card of social democratic movement. At the moment, if you talk about equality, many people think, especially from so-called squeeze middle, equality is for everyone else, but not for us, the so to say middle class, because we are helping to sustain the state as it is. We are working for the state, but what is that we are getting while the public services are not working, while the social security is not sufficient, etc. and etc. Also, within the feeling of equality, I think very recently, our discussion in the last 10 years, social democracy has been very strongly advocating for the active state, saying equal opportunities is the basis. If we have equal opportunities, everything else will be fixed. The difficulty with that one is even that if you offer the equal opportunities to each and everyone, not everyone has the same capacities of using these opportunities, and still there is no clarity if by offering equal opportunities we also expect equality of outcome, so everyone in the same position as the end of the day. I think that here social democracy is very much, so to say, guilty, having focused too much of redistribution, so the correction, but not so much of distribution as the basis of equality. So we are at the moment trying to see if perhaps instead of talking of equal opportunities only, we should talk about equality of autonomy, which can be one of interesting concepts coming in between. We are not saying that this is the final answer, we are exploring. This is the delightful part of the think tank, that you can pose a lot of interesting questions and not always you come with the answers, but the search is pleasant in itself. And finally, solidarity. Your foundation has solidarity in the name, but solidarity within our societies is more and more connected with the issue of charity. It's no longer an economic term. The moment we started as the movement talking about solidarity was about ensuring that everyone can participate, ensuring on the basis of universalism, and ensuring that there is a development that everyone participates and can participate in. Currently, if you talk about solidarity in my home country, which is Poland, usually the discourse very often derives to the poorest, the ones on the lowest level, and it's no longer seen as a social concept. It's seen as something that refers to one specific group in the society, which makes the other groups often rebellious because people are ready to contribute, but within the circumstances of the crisis, not always they are ready to contribute that far. And I think solidarity, specifically on the European Union level, translates into policies. If we look at discussions around Greece, I'm not sure how much of solidarity has been there around and how the solidarity has been understood. Was it understood as imposition of the problems of one towards the others? Was it understood as the necessity to keep the European Union together and ensure further competition between the member states? I think this is still a very interesting question, and I think the answer is not yet there. And if we look at Spain of yesterday, which is why the colleague of mine, Ricard Torrell, couldn't make it, because Spain is paralyzed by the general strike and many demonstrations. If the measurements, the austerity measurements, are the basis of the solidarity, we believe austerity is not an answer. But if austerity is not an answer, what is? And I think that's a big challenge in front of social democracy. Last but not least, the discussion about the values is the discussion how we deal with the past and how we deal with the future. It's a discussion on how we positionate the party, because Evans mentioned that the core values cannot only be a nice declaration, it cannot only be the question of rhetorics, but it also has to be a question of moral code, the way the parties portray themselves in the democratic system and the mission that they have within that system and the way they see the future. I think that values, the good understanding of values, is also the question on what kind of possibilities you have strategically as far as the future is concerned. And I think defining what the values are is very crucial for defining what the progressive alliance could be. 3 days ago, Daniel Cohn-Bendit made a proposal towards the all the European parties, saying, why don't we come up with a common top candidate? Like last time, Barroso was a common candidate for the Conservatives. Why don't we create liberal, social democratic and green alliance? Now, the question of the values is there a space for a liberal, social democratic alliance, or there are perhaps too many values that are contradictory with one another, and that would be a strong political argument against it. I don't have an answer for that, but I hope that the answer will come up in the discussion. I'm very much looking forward to learning from you and your perspective, and definitely for being challenged. After over a year of studying values, I of course have a lot of details to give, but I'm sure that there are things that we definitely haven't thought about, and this is what I expect from this discussion today.
Thank you very much. Actually, Anya, you're also a moderator of the first panel. So
I know.
You can
I just didn't want to make it a long row of me talking. Am I speaking too fast, or is it okay? Because that's normally a thing that I get as a criticism, that I talk too fast, but I have a lot of things to say, so if that can be an excuse. So the first panel, we will have two panels today. The first one is entitled as Modern Understanding of Values, How They Translate in a Credible Political Offer. So there is extremely a lot of questions. What is a credible political offer? What are the modern values? How do you make a link in between? Those will be the three questions we have in this little question. I have to say that within the study, we came up with a classification of how the parties in Europe propose what their values are. And there are four main streams in terms of the formats of proposing the values. There is a tradition of so-called Grundsatzprogramm, which is mostly the German, Austrian, Luxembourgish tradition, also Flemish and Dutch. Then we have the party longer-term program, which is more of the Nordic traditions. Then we have the electoral manifestos, which is, interestingly enough, usually the Central and Eastern European parties who do not have the, so to say, fundamental program. And then we have the values incorporated in the rules and regulations or the statutes of the parties. This is very interesting because...
I have a question. First, this, what does it mean?
Grundsatzprogramm is for example, in case of Germany, is a program that explains the interpretation of the values and the overall directions of the policies. They usually vary, so the extent of such a document can be from few pages to really many pages. And I think what's interesting, especially for social democracy, is that, of course, such a program takes years and years to develop. If you take the hamburger program of the SPD, it took 10 years to develop. And the process is important because it involves a lot of people, a lot of consultations, and also it gives an ownership to the parties involved in such a process. When you write an electoral manifesto, that's obviously a bit of a different process. It's a short term, you involve also the people. You involve people who spice up your language, who make you understandable also for the public. So also then validity of such a program is a different one, because if you do a fundamental program for many years, it's usually valid for many years because nobody wants to also repeat such a exhausting process ever and over again. while the electoral manifesto has to be written before every single election. So that's how long the values proclaimed there, technically or from the formal perspective, should be are valid. I think that within this question of modern understanding of values and how they translate into credible politics, I would like to pose a question to all the panelists. So if we have those values, so what is the reason to actually believe that social democracy or progressive forces should be voted and should be elected within this century based on their beliefs? Are they really fitting in into the new century? And I'm not sure, because before we were waiting for the panelists, but I have three extensively outstanding panelists of my panel today. I have Piet Pettersson. I'm sorry if I misspell the names, but my name is also unpronounceable, so I hope you'll forgive me. Yes. He is the chairman of the Estonian Transport and Road Workers Trade Unions and member of the Tartu City Council. I have Professor Dr. Andrius Bielskis, and I have Dr. Veiko Spolis from Riga Standish University, who is also the parliamentary secretary of the Defence Ministry. So, Evans, with whom do we start now?
With our Lithuanian colleagues.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
The floor is yours, and how much time do you have?
Feel free, because Richard couldn't come, so we come to our free time.
Well, we are Brussels bureaucrats, so we usually tend to say 10-15 minutes.
If you see that somebody is sleeping, then
okay,
you should
short 10-15 minutes.